Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. Welcome to another episode of The Deen Show. My name is Indeen, I'm your host Eddie, and we're here talking about serious issues. We're here talking about things that are very important. We're talking about something also that's very cool. I think it's very cool to be a Muslim, it's very cool to be practicing Islam, and knowing what your purpose in life is, knowing where you're going when you die, having some direction, and who best to give direction than the one who created you. Why take direction from anybody else? Why not take it from the one who took care of you when you were in your mother's womb? The one who's running this whole universe and he's in control of everything. Why not take direction from him? We're going to talk to one brother who's just a cool cat. This brother is not a rapper. He's not an actor. He's a Muslim, and he's doing something cool. We're going to be talking to our brother, the cool brother, Omar Carter, here on The Deen Show. So you don't want to go nowhere. We'll be right back.
Deen. Allah is only one God, and Muhammad is his messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah. Allah, there's only one God, and Jesus was his messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah.
I don't know why I did that. Maybe it's just to break the ice. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum salam, rahmatullah.
Omar Carter.
Thanks for having me, Eddie.
On The Deen Show.
Thank you. It's nice being here.
It's a pleasure to have. I'm glad you're here with us. We've known each other for a bit of a long time.
It's been a while.
And I've been having you on my mind.
That's good.
So when I made the introduction to the show, I said, you're not an actor, you're not a rock star, a movie star, a hip-hop phenomenon, but you're a Muslim. And I talked about how cool it is to be a Muslim. And I wanted to bring that up because nowadays you got to be sitting down with one of these individuals, the 50 Cent and the Tupacs, for people to think that's cool. But I think it's cool to talk to our brothers, for us brothers to talk and to talk about something that's cooler than all that, Islam. And we want the people to hear this story because you weren't always Muslim and you weren't always doing the coolest thing in the world, Islam. You were doing something else.
That's true.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do, and some of the history of what you used to live before, and then we'll come up to how and where you are now.
Well, as you already know, I grew up in Jamaica. I moved to the U.S. when I was about 12 years old. And my father was what people would say a clergy member in the church.
Yeah.
My mother was also a clergy member. We grew up in the church, basically.
Yeah.
If I remember Sunday mornings, I would cry saying, I don't feel well. I'm sick. I don't want to go to church today. And my mother would say, come to church. We'll pray for you. Mm-hmm. So all throughout my life, I've had that, I would say church upbringing. I grew up in the church and moved to the United States when I was about 12 years old. Same process continued. I was still going to church. My mother was actively involved in the church. My father was also actively involved in the church. And throughout that time, you know, we would always go to church, pray. But there was always something in the back of my mind wondering, is there something beyond all of this that I'm, go to church every Sunday and then Monday through Saturday, you pretty much return to the things that people do. So church was just a component, or we would say God was just one part. He was maybe we would go to church on Sunday and then maybe Monday we go and we do whatever else we would normally do. And he, at points during the week, we would think about God. We would pray before we eat. But there was still something that I felt that I was just missing. Then and for years it bothered me. I researched, I read, did a lot of reading, and I just felt very uncomfortable. Now, for some people, it's okay, to go to church and then every Sunday maybe involved in a youth group or visit the sick people. Those are all good things. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, when you go home and you're going to bed, laying on the pillow, thinking, okay, so that this was the end of my day, That was the point where I felt that, is there something else to this life? So as I continued when I was around 19, I mean, I stopped going to church when I was about 14.
Yeah.
And at 19, I did a lot of reading because for some reason the question become more and more embedded in my mind. Why are you here? There has to be more to life than just what you see here. And at that point, I started studying. I studied Buddhism, Taoism, all the isms you can think of. And somehow I came across a book. I had a friend of mine. He would always laugh at me. He said, you know, all these things you're reading, you could find it in Islam. But I thought Islam was this weird religion, you know, people wearing hats on their heads, long beard, and men wearing dresses. And, it was just something that, you know, it's okay. You know, I don't have any problems with these people, but it's not something that I wanted to do. I wasn't attracted to it. And, you know, this friend of mine, we're still friends today. He was very patient with me. He would give me books to read. He would check in on me. We would have a lot of conversations, a lot of going back and forth. And, slowly but surely, I started discovering Islam.
You don't, by the way, you mentioned hats and dresses and all these other things, but you don't have any hats or dresses on, and you're a Muslim now, and you look very sharp, mashallah.
Well, that's the beauty of Islam. Being a Muslim is, of course, there are people who they wear what's called the thobe and the kufi, and that's traditionally something that people do in their country. It's also what we would say it's a part of the sunnah, because the Prophet, may peace and blessings be upon him, he wore those things.
Yeah.
And some people feel that it brings them closer to Islam, it brings them closer to the Prophet, it shows love for the Prophet. There's absolutely nothing wrong with wearing those clothes. But on the other hand, Islam is also a religion that takes into account that there are different people from different areas with different colors, different sizes, different shapes. And the one thing that brings us together is the love of Allah, the oneness of God, the belief that there is no God but Allah, and that Muhammad is his messenger, and that Islam is a religion that promotes tolerance.
Yeah.
So
that's an interesting point, yeah, because Islam, I mean, if you want to dress modestly, if you want to imitate a lot of the prophets, the last and final messenger, the best person to emulate, which is, it's actually not a dress. Some people would say from the outside, what are these people wearing dresses? No, this is something just a modest way of dressing like the prophets dress. And if you look at the Muslims today, this is how Jesus or any of the prophets, they used to dress in that modest way, the way, a humble way. Isn't that true?
That's right.
Yeah. So let's talk about cool, because we kind of got this thing mixed up. We think, you know, that being cool is, you know, getting some champagne and going to the nightclub and riding around in a limo and trying to be with these superstars that you see on the TV. But what was your, we know that's not cool. What was your definition of cool before? What were some of the cool things, quote unquote, that you were doing before Islam? What did you consider cool? What did you find motivating you back then?
Well, and for most people today, I would say it's the same. It's money.
Money.
And money was a great motivator.
Yeah.
I loved the money, and with the money came a lot of things. I had nice cars. I had a lot of nice women I was running around with. But at the end of the day, it always came back to the question, why are you here? Are you happy with what you have? You have all this money. You have a nice car. You have pretty girlfriends. But at the end of the day, there was something knocking in the bottom, you know, behind the scenes in my soul.
The soul, huh?
Where is all this going to take you? What's going to happen 20 years from now? That question always was always coming back to me. And I thought getting a nicer car, getting another girlfriend, or just having more things would fill that void. But the thing I found out was that the more that I acquired these things, the more that I wanted. And that void wasn't being filled, because it's a void that cannot be filled, cannot be satiated with material things.
So you mentioned Buddhism, you mentioned some other isms, being brought into a family of, you know, people who You mentioned one time that you were actually, you considered yourself like a Bible thumper.
Oh, yeah.
You got to that stage, so you had some knowledge.
Right.
So let's briefly talk about all these other isms before you came to the cool way of life.
Well, with Christianity, I mean, I was involved. I got baptized when I was 9 years old.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was heavily involved in the church. I had a Bible. I was quoting verses from the Bible, you know, Psalms 23 or Psalms 91, all these things. And
what were these verses, Psalms 91? What was in these verses?
Well, Psalms is basically what Muslims today call the Zabur, parts of it, where David, Dawood, alayhi salam, he was inspired by our Creator.
Yeah.
And a book was revealed to him.
Yeah.
So that's the equivalent of what Christians today would say are the Psalms. Like there's Psalms 23 that said, "The Lord is my shepherd, thou shalt not want."
Yeah.
And on and on. And these were things that, you know, were carrying me throughout my life at that point. But then again, it was going back to the, why are you here? Is this enough? Do you feel comfortable with what you're doing? So that's when it actually, you know, to answer your question, led me into searching. Mm-hmm. I mean, I even looked at Rastafarianism for a while. And then, you know, Buddhism, it's a cool thing. But at the end of the day, I was still left with the question, are you satisfied with the way you're living? Is this something that when you go to bed at night, you would feel comfortable with? My soul just still wasn't satisfied with all these isms.
So did you not find the evidence? You didn't find sufficient proofs that these were the truth, and the for instance, now in Buddhism or in these other isms, was there something there that gave you a clear way how to live your life from A to Z that wasn't there? What were you looking for that you just didn't find fulfillment in these other ways? What criteria was that you had set?
Well, let's take Buddhism for example. Yeah. This is a religion that or a philosophy that says, you know, you should be a very peaceful person.
Yeah.
You shouldn't even hurt the ant. It allows you to reflect. Mm-hmm. For example, my favorite Buddhist quoting is one that says, the man who's pulling the carrot pointed the way with the carrot. It really allows a person to kind of take a step back and look at life and give you a peaceful view of life.
Yeah.
So in terms of living this life and being comfortable and being peaceful in this life, I think Buddhism answers that question. Mm-hmm. Now, the bigger issue for me with Buddhism is, okay, so what happens when you die? Who do you answer to? For me, and for some people, Buddhism, they found their answer. But for me, I had the question, why are you here? Buddhism really didn't answer that question for me. It showed me how to live my life, how to get through the day, how to deal with chaos within my life. But I was still not satisfied mm-hmm. at that point. I still felt that there is something or there is someone, some entity outside of myself, outside of this world, that is moving things, that's causing things to move. And for me, that wasn't answered.
Now, the way of life, the religion of your parents, believing that Jesus was one in three, three in one, the Trinity, that he died, he came as a man, he died. And what right. about this? Talk about this briefly.
Well, that was something that was one of the values, the religious values that as Christians we espoused.
Yeah.
I remember, you know, before I was baptized, we would quote Acts 2:38 that says, no one comes about being baptized in the name of Jesus, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And that was something that led me to get baptized. But at a point in my life, I was still faced with the question, well, if God is Jesus and Jesus is God and God is a spirit, then how do you reconcile that?
Mm-hmm.
That was always something that, you know, and when I asked that question, it was given to me like, well, think of an egg. Yeah. There's the shell, there's the yolk, and then there's the white.
Mm-hmm.
It's still one egg, but it's three in one.
Yeah.
I wasn't satisfied with that. There was also the answer of there's water and ice can become water and it can become vapor. Think of that. And I said, okay, but something that kind of pulled me towards Islam was when my friend, again, his name is Vince, he said to me, you know, there's nothing like God. You can't compare anything to him. Mm-hmm. And that kind of jolted me towards, you know, learning about Islam. I still thought it was a weird religion. It was something that, you know, people that sell bean pies and yeah. people who visit the pyramids
yeah.
And men who dress in weird clothes. I still saw it as that religion. But when he mentioned to me about, you know, this is your creator, and he started reasoning with me, which was funny because I think at that point, Buddhism actually prepared me for Islam in a sense because yeah. My reasoning ability, I think, was developed and enhanced studying Buddhism. But Islam really forced you to think and to say, okay, if you're here, then there has to be a reason why you're here. And it's your job, it's your responsibility to find that out. So I think from an Islamic perspective, that kind of forced me to rethink the whole thing that we call life. And I think at that point, I think I studied Islam for 2 years, and I found slowly that questions were being answered. There were things that at first I found a little bit, this is strange, but then after I thought about it and I reasoned with myself, I asked the right questions and I spoke to the right people, I had no choice. If I walked away from this thing called Islam, no matter how weird I think it is, there was something in my mind that said, you need to look at this. Take a second look at this. This is what you've been looking for.
Yeah, so too much mental gymnastics going on, trying to figure out how God could be a man and then be
right.
Three and not three but one and right. all this other stuff. It didn't make sense. It didn't fit. But you come into Islam, it answered all the questions. Purpose of life?
The purpose of life is clear.
It's clear?
For me now, the purpose of life is clear.
Where you're going when you die, is it clear?
It's clear.
Who God is that clear?
That's clear.
Tell us, who is God?
Well, that's a whole show in itself.
Tell us briefly.
We know that God is nothing. We can imagine the most beautiful thing that our imagination will allow us to, mm-hmm. and that's still not God.
Yeah.
As Muslims, we're taught that you cannot put God in a framework. You cannot put him in a box,
which is
great for the human being because he can then aspire towards something greater. Because if we think as human beings that we can enclose God in a box, then it's going to limit our thinking, our mm-hmm. possibilities. It's actually a disservice to ourselves. But as the Quran teaches us, that God has attributes, and we could look around the creation and see things that we're forced to ask ourselves, then why is this here? How could this happen just by chance? We know that when we go to bed at night, we're practically dead. When mm-hmm. we and then we come back, we start up again. We start a new day.
Yeah.
We look at the days, we look at the night, we look at the seasons, we look at the water, we look at the earth that produces apples, oranges, bananas, plutonium. All these things are coming from one place. And no human being or no other thing but something magnanimous would be able to create all these things from one earth. I mean, the apple has a different taste, it has a different smell than the banana or the orange, but they're all coming from the same place. Yeah. And through this scientific process, the creator is able to bring these things forth, and they nourish us. And what's even more fantastic is that he brings us back into the earth.
Yeah.
So just looking at that one aspect of his creation is enough as a proof for me that there's something out there that is in charge of all of this.
So Islam clearly defines who the creator is, and this was something that just went down easy. Not too much
it's not a complicated gymnastics.
Nothing complicated.
It's
okay.
Not a complicated.
Let's talk about, before we get into Islam and how this has benefited you and how it's changed your life. Tell us, we got something that's very convenient. you know, you being a young man, and now you have someone who, because we acquire sins throughout life, we're weak, we make mistakes, but on one end you got this idea, this story about someone who's carrying your sins. Now, how did you get away from, and was this embedded in you that someone died for your sins, and all you had to do was believe this and you're okay?
That's something that, and it's very easy. I mean, it's, if you really want to take the easy way out, hey, all I have to do is just believe and I'll be saved.
Yeah.
But in Islam teaches you that you are given faculties,
yeah,
which you must use as a person to save yourself or to harm yourself. Each individual, Islam really puts the responsibility on the individual. So if I go out and I do something, I can say, okay, I'll be saved. In reality, life doesn't work like that. If I go out right now and I go kill someone, I have to suffer for it. I have to go to jail. I have to go through due process. And the state is going to make sure that justice is done. Then why is it that a creator who is all wise would say, okay, do what you want and all you have to do is believe? The logic just doesn't hold. I can't say, hey, you know what, I'm going to do things, and when I do something, I'm going to be saved because I believe. Islam teaches you, you have to believe, but then you also have to have something behind your belief that solidifies that belief. And what is that? That is action. You have to do things, and you have to believe. So the belief has two components. It's in your heart, and it's also actions, what you say and what you do. I can't say, hey, you know what, I'm a Muslim, and that's it. No, I have to work. I have to do good works. And the converse is true. You can't say, you know what, I don't believe, but I'm going to do good things. No, the two go together. You have to believe it in your heart. You have to testify with it in your tongue. And you have to use your hands. You have to use your mind. You have to use the faculties, which any person who has a brain or the ability to think, I think that would resonate with reasoning.
So there's accountability, and now you got to prove your love. You got to prove your belief.
Right.
By the actions.
Exactly.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, talk to us now. You accepted, there's something going off telling us now that, look, we got to define some words because we got a lot of non-Muslims. They heard Islam, they heard Muslims, and you know, they might got some other things in their head when we bring up these words. So we're going to just take a second. Islam simply means surrender and submission to the Creator alone. Him you pray to. Him you give charity for. He is the one that is dictating your life. And a Muslim is one who is doing Islam. Islam is a way of life that all the prophets and messengers followed.
Whoa.
Just hearing something, and we can turn off the noise that was interrupting us. Now, you're a Muslim now. You've chosen, you've taken that free choice, that free will that you have now to either go and worship a man, to worship a cow, to worship the sun, the moon, maybe your desires now. You could have stopped and just made up your own religion. People, they don't say they're making up their own religion, but when they're just doing their own thing, making things up, say, you know, I'm just a good person, it's in my heart, and they'll just make things up as they go along. You knew that, no, this is not, we didn't even get into that, but was there a point, before I go to my next point, that maybe you said, that, you know, the heck with all this, I'm going to just do my own thing. Did you ever come to that?
At a point in my life, to be honest with you, I felt that, you know what, if I'm just a good person, and I take all the good things from the, you know, like kind of cherry pick.
Yeah.
The best from Buddhism, the best from Judaism, the best from Christianity, the best from Islam. And I do a good thing, I should be okay.
Yeah.
There was a point when I felt that would be okay.
Why didn't you do that?
Because again, in the back of my mind, I just did not feel there was something. I cannot tell you what it is, but there was always the question of, what is this all about?
Yeah.
Are you being, and I think, you know, most people will say it's your conscience. But at some point, your conscience is going to tell you, this is not right, or this is right. And even though, in a limited sense, that your conscience is not what you follow, but to a certain point, it always guides you.
Mm-hmm.
And once you've reached the point where you should be guided, then things kind of take over from that. It may not make sense, but at some point, your conscience is always going to give you an honest feedback.
So that wasn't, you wouldn't be being honest and sincere. That's just the easy way
out. That's the easy way out.
Okay, so let's go on to this now. Now you're a Muslim. Now you've chosen to do God's thing. You've chosen to do the cool thing. Islam is cool. You want to do what God wants you to do? That's Islam. Simple as that. Nothing less than paradise. Tell us now, what are some of the challenges? Was it easy at first? Is it easy now? Do you feel like you got this one-way ticket? You know, it's just all, as they say, hunky-dory, or it's just good? Tell us now, for those who've accepted Islam, because I personally witness it, that, you know, it's not something that, you know, it's going to take some work. Did it take some work to start praying five times a day? Did it take some work to leave off some of the things that God tells you to leave off? Talk about this.
And that's something that I think the human being is a lazy and forgetful person. That's why
lazy,
we have commercials, you know, always reminding us, go buy this or go buy that. Yeah. And I think, to be honest with you, when I was first introduced to Islam, I was, I love pork.
Yeah.
That's an example. I said, you know what? I can't give up the pork.
Yeah.
I can't give up. And for, I think, maybe a year, I just said, you know, I can't give up the pork.
It's a test now.
And it was a test. And slowly but surely, I was able to overcome that.
Yeah.
But there are things that every person has a vice.
Yeah.
And even he could be the biggest sheikh, or he could be the smallest evildoer.
Yeah.
He has a vice, or she has a vice. And that's something that's a challenge that is placed within the human being, whether he's a Muslim or a non-Muslim, a good person or a bad person, that if he or she is able to overcome that that vice or that thing that can actually pull you one way or the other, then that person is beginning the process of being true to him or herself, because you've recognized, hey, I'm a weak person when it comes to this, or I'm a weak person when it comes to that. But then once you're able to recognize that and move beyond that and always keep that in mind, then I think the process begins, where you can be honest with yourself, you can be honest with others, and most importantly, you can be honest with your Creator.
Tell us, what are some of the proofs? Nowadays, look, you know, people, when you bring up any kind of ism, they say, okay, this is just one of those religions. What distinguishes Islam from the rest of these man-made religions? Because I don't think we should have to follow a man-made religion. A way of life that we follow should be from the Creator. So how does someone know that Islam is a way of life from the Creator?
I think the responsibility factor. I mean, you look at the fact that as a Muslim, you're required to pray five times a day.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how much a person believes or disbelieve, that's going to be a test for him or her.
Yeah.
You're not just going to say, you know what, I'm going to pray and I just go through the motions. If you're going to spend a great portion of your day or a significant times in your day when you're praying, that should say something. The other thing is the fasting. If you don't fast, I will never know. You could, or if I can say, you know what, we're fasting, we're all fasting, and I go sneak and have something to drink, or I go do something that I'm not supposed to do during fasting, so, and come back and pretend that I'm fasting. But these are the individual things that we do that develops us, that develop our belief system, to believe that, you know, there is a Creator. And he sees me no matter where I go. I can't escape my Creator. So the responsibility factor that, okay, I'm responsible for what I do, and I will be asked about everything that I do.
Mm-hmm.
That really puts something in the human, in the mind that says, you know, at some point, you are going to be held accountable. And if we are honestly aware of that, if we're sincere to ourselves, then I think that's enough proof for us. And there were thousands of prophets that came, and their message was, you know, believe in the one God and obey me. But in order for you to believe and in order for you to obey the prophet, you have to be responsible. We have to take responsibility for the things that we do and the activities that we engage in.
You think if someone's sincere, he wants to know the truth? That it doesn't take too many degrees to figure out that Islam is the way that is from the Creator? Does it provide an ample amount of evidence that someone just, you know, because it's easily, we tend to, as human beings, always look for the easy way. So I think that, you know, you mentioned something before. Right now, this good point that you mentioned that, you know, the actions that Islam has you do. Because a lot of the other ways, it's kind of like you just blend it in with your life.
Right.
God says, no, no, no. Allah, the Creator of the heavens and earth, says, no. You put me first, everything else comes second, third, fourth. You blend Islam in, right? So now if someone's sincere, because some people, like you mentioned about the pork or maybe alcohol, gambling, you know what? You know, this thing's, by their actions, is more important because they don't want to give this up. You were sincere enough, you gave this up for the Creator. You think if someone's sincere and they use their intellect, what would be the first things that they would have to do now to come to where you are, doing the cool thing, doing what God wants you to do, Islam?
Well, I don't want to, you know, profess to be someone who's at a point where I've perfected this whole
thing
called Islam.
None of us are. We're far away from perfect. Yeah.
But, you know, we all have our struggles. But I think in order for someone to come to that realization, honesty, you have to be honest with yourself.
Honesty.
Yes, I think honesty plays a...
With yourself.
Yes. If you're not honest with yourself, then it's going to create a lot of issues for you and for those people who you come in contact with. Your whole life is going to be based on something other than honesty.
Mm-hmm.
So in order for someone to come to the realization, they have to be honest. They have to go out and seek knowledge and use your intellect. We were given an intellect for a reason. And in order for us to use that intellect to its highest level, we have to have a certain degree of honesty. Because if we're not honest, we may see the truth and we can even intellectualize away from the truth because we are not being honest with ourselves.
So be honest. A couple more points that tell us we're almost out of time. Is Islam something for a certain race, for the black people? Because some people, when you think of Islam, they think that this is a black thing. What do you got to say about that?
I mean, I had the same, but like I said before, Islam was just some weird religion for, and some, you know, like for the Arabs or for the blacks or, you know, people selling bean pie and Farrakhan. And no, Islam, unfortunately, Islam is a religion that sees no color. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from. Islam opens its door. So,
see, the black and the white come together worshiping the one God.
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, we live in the United States, and this is a great country. We've just elected a black president.
Mm-hmm.
In Islam, this would not be something great.
Yeah.
Why? Because even when there was slavery in the U.S., Islam was saying, no, there's no difference between the black or the white.
Yeah.
There's no difference between the man and the woman. So Islam is a radically, as you would say, cool thing that, as we go through time, and if we wish to be honest with ourselves, we go back and we look at what Islam has been presenting that takes other entities or isms to figure out as they evolve.
Yeah.
Islam told us that 1,500 years ago, 1,400 years ago. We knew that having a black president, it's not a big deal. Why? Because in Islam, you're judged by your deeds and what you believe and the things you do, not by your physicality.
Tell us terrorism. This might be on some of the non-Muslims' mind. They're tuning in and they're, you know, Islam, Muslims, and, you know, right away they got this stereotype, terrorism. What do you got to say about terrorism?
Terrorism has no place in Islam.
No place in Islam.
As defined, and people always go through, you know, well, there's no need to apologize. If someone is a Muslim, doesn't necessarily mean that the person is not. If someone really is a Muslim, he's not a terrorist.
Yeah.
Because Muslims, and this sounds like a cliche, but it's true, Muslims believe in justice, we believe in peace, and as cliche as it may sound, Islam is a peaceful religion.
Yeah.
It's not a cliche. I challenge anyone out there to do any research. When Islam ruled Spain, you had Jews, you had Muslims, you had Christians, all living in the same society. And you can look at throughout the history of Islam. People say Islam was spread by the sword. That is not true. Again, I challenge that notion. Islam has always been a religion that promotes peace. When Islam ruled the world, the world was in peace. When Islam doesn't rule the world is in pieces. So terrorism has no place in Islam. No Muslim believes in terrorizing other people or killing innocent people for no reason. That is against Islam. It's against humanity. It's against the basic belief of life. In, regardless of you're a Muslim, a Christian, a Jew, a Hindu, a Buddhist, whoever you are, terrorism has no place in those religions. And in that arena, Islam is no different. Islam and terrorism are not compatible.
And with that notion of peace, I'd like to wish you peace. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you for being with us, my brother.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Jazakallah khair. I'd like to thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Deen Show. You got to hear it, another man's story of how he came to Islam. Islam is the cool thing. It calls you to think, to ponder. Why are you here? Are you here just to play, just have fun, make a little money, and then you die? Think about it. Be sincere. And like our guest said, be honest. Search for the truth. Ask the one who created you, the knower of truth, who will give you truth and will give you peace and contentment in life. And that's the only way to live, how the Creator wants you to live. Simple. And that's Islam. Doing Islam. Submitting your will to the will of the Creator. And we hope to see you back here every week on The Deen Show. We'll see you next time. Until then, assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.
It's cold, it's late, everybody's sleeping. I arise and ask Allah to forgive me. Oh Allah, you see, oh Allah, you know, all the sins I do. I turn to you to forgive my sins and my heart. I'm your sinful slave, you're my loving Lord. I'm the one who runs away, oh Allah, guide me.